Okay, we can't bring them this,
Introduction.
We can't bring them this year.
We can't bring them Bisman Hazer, why not? Because it's only Bisman Shabbos HaMikdashkaya. Tavi Beis HaShem HaLakech. The Pasuk says you have to bring it only when the Beis HaMikdash is here. What else can you tell me about the Bikurim?
In the Shivas Aminim.
In the seven Aminim, good.
And what the first thing that you see, you put a string around it.
Put a little bindle around it, and tie a little bindle.
A rosa bindle.
There's no shear when I tire. What's the shear draw button on it?
One sixtieth.
One sixtieth.
Oh, really?
What? One sixtieth. I only know it says 1/60. I don't know of what. Maybe 1/60.
What does 1/60 mean to you?
1/60 of all the new fruit, I guess. I don't know. Well, Dove, what do you think 1/60 means?
A nice fruit basket.
No, I thought there was no shear.
It's the second one on the list. There's no shear min haTorah. It's very similar to Truma, where there's no shear min haTorah. How else is it similar to Truma?
It's
the one on Matnas Kahuna. Where does the Kohen eat it?
Probably in the Mikdash.
In the Mikdash? It's all year. He can eat anywhere in the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess like Truma.
How many mitzvahs say are there for a person when it comes to Bikurim? And the Rambam say for our mitzvahs, how many mitzvahs does he count as far as Asay is concerned?
Three.
This is our say three?
I didn't guess that, but
this is
my guess.
Two mitzvahs I say. One is the Havah, and one is the Kriya. The Kriya is a separate mitzvah. Okay, that will be our segue into the first Mishnah.
Why is it first fruits and not first fruits? Why is it?
It's Shiva Minim. Any of the Shiva Minim. Yeah. Okay, so let's go on. Okay? You guys ready to get started?
Who wants to go to Cat?
Ready to go.
He wants to go.
Where does he start?
10 minutes.
And very shortly.
Oh.
But he's going to get whatever he can. He's Chaf Sarayin. It's a masman.
He won't be able to park in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a little trouble. Okay, I'll go quickly. So we're talking about the two mitzvahs. So this mission is all about these two mitzvahs specifically, Yeshuvim, Bikurim, Bikurim. Some people bring the Bikurim and they read the Parsha. Mevim, Bikurim, some people bring but they don't read the Parsha. Yeshuvim, Mevim, some people don't bring it at all. So now we're going to go
backwards.
Elu, She'enon, Mevim. These are the ones that don't bring it all. Hanotea, V'tosh, Shalom. V'hivrich, V'tosh, Yachanosh, V'tosh, Shalom. I have my fruit tree in my property, and I run a branch into my friend's property. Talking about where I run it into my friend's property, Shalom Bershus. So I have part of it is like stolen, right? So the part that's not, first of all, it's stolen. Number one, number two, it's not my property. So it therefore will disqualify any new fruits from that new branch that I put in his property. Not only that, even the old tree will also no longer be chayiv in anything because it is also deriving nourishment from the new branch.
What happens when he cuts it? Because that's what he's going to have to do.
We're not talking about that point. And we're talking about now where it's connected still. So what will happen is a what-if question. We're not ready for that question yet.
Okay,
we're just getting started here. So, and now it says it, Tokshor Yochid, Tokshor Rabim. Basically, it's the same idea. Either it's a Yochid. What's the difference between a Yochid and a Rabim? So it could be, it's a question of how wide it is. The Rabim has to be, it's just a Rabim. The way of the Rabim could be the 16 Amos, anything less than that is Yochid. Or it could be that it's privately owned. It's a question of exactly what it is.
Does it say anywhere why he's doing this?
Why he's doing the Havracha?
He wants to extend it. The other guy's tree or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say it.
Would be okay?
What other type of trees? Do you have an example?
Carmelis.
A Carmelis? Well, yeah. Yeah.
How is it stealing if it's Hezek She'eino Nikar?
Hezek She'eino Nikar? Why is it not Nikar?
I see a plant.
That was planted in the public thoroughfare. That's the very nicker.
No. I'm saying if he's mavrich into his friend's reshut.
It's also it's very nicker.
Stealing, but I'm saying you're stealing the nutrients.
That's very nicker. That is nicker. That is definitely nicker.
You're taking space too.
It's not Gandalf Moko.
Hold on. What are you going to say, Shafsi?
I can see the problem when you go into your neighbors. I can see the problem when you go into a Shosa Rabbit. But if you stick your tree into no man's land and nobody owns it, and you're not stealing, is the issue here that it's not yours?
Oh.
The issue is that it's...
Very good.
But that's somebody else.
What would be the din? Chauncey's asking a question. What would be if it wouldn't be stealing, but it would be no man's land? That's Gezel Rabbim. The Rabbim you have, the Rabbim owns the Rishus Rabbim, and you're not allowed to steal from the Rabbim. When you go ahead and you park your car across the parking lot, and you're not allowing everybody to go through, that's Gezel Rabbim. You're stealing the rights of the Rabbim. Okay.
Yeah.
Even though we don't own it, personally, we don't own it, but it's still stealing. Okay, v'chein ha'mavrach mitoch, we'll see. V'chein ha'mavrach mitoch shal yachid, or mitoch harabim, mitoch shalom. The same thing was true if you go the opposite direction. You have a fruit tree growing in the public fair, and I bend down one of the branches into my rishus. Doesn't matter since it's driving nourishment from the rabim, which is not my land, it's not chayv. Hanotem mitoch shalom, v'hirch mitoch shalom. Let's suppose I have two...
Why is it not chayv? Because it's coming from
Because it's not at Moscow. It's not your land. It has to be.
Not to do with...
We're going to see in a second. Yeah. So now the third case here is you're Natea in your land, and you're Mavrich in your own land. So let's suppose you have two sides. I own property on two sides of the Shusha Rabbim, let's say, for example. And what I did was I ran a branch underneath the Shusha Rabbim into my Rishus HaYachid. Let's say that's the case, for example.
It's a long branch.
It's a long branch, yeah. So it says over here, V'derach HaYachid, V'derach HaRabim Be'emtza. You have the, either way, they're in the middle. HaRezeinu Meivei, the Tanakama holds, this is the one place where there's a Machlokas. Tanakama says this, you also don't bring. And Rabbi Yehuda says, maybe you do bring. The Gemara is going to talk at length what this Machlokas is totally, and I'm not going to talk about it now. Me'ezat tam, eno mevi. So the Mishnah ends with a reason. Shum shenema reishis b'kriyat moscha tavi. Atu kol gedulim ad moscha. Everything has to come from your land. And therefore, since if you gave it to your, put it in your friend's land, put it in Rishus HaRabbim's land, all those are not your land. This land is my land.
The land here is only Eretz
This is talking, obviously, only in Eretz Yisrael. This is not Chayv
Yeah,
Fasaris.
Okay, is the friend, if you do it into your friend, does he have to bring the Bikurim?
Nope. Not
it is.
Not all it is. The tree's
nice.
Who's the tree belong to?
Your tree,
stuff,
your
branch. Even if I took his tree that was growing in his land and bent it over into my land, now the tree is deriving nourishment from both his own land and my land. It's no longer completely from Ad Moscha. That's what the Mishnah ends off. Okay, let's keep going. Yeshavim Bikurim Bikurim. Hanoteya B'tosh Shalav, V'hirchotosh Shal Yachin, O'tosh Shal Rabim, Mafil Menazakena, Eno Mevi. Then when you go into another area, even the old tree you also don't bring, you also not Mevi, like we said, the tree we started with. So even though the last 10 years I brought Bikurim from that tree, this year I'm not gonna have to. Hamavrich mitoch sheyachad mitoch shalrabim mitoch shalo afilu mana yaldaino maybe. The same thing is true if you're planting into my rishos. Even the new one which is completely growing in my rishos and is completely legal, it doesn't matter because it's partially deriving from another source. Hado Amrof, so from this you see a very simple observation. Kishem Shi Yolda is Chayim and Hazakena, Kachazakena Chayim and HaYolda. At the same way, right, the young shoot is living off nourishment from the older tree, so too the older tree is also getting some nourishment from the young tree, albeit a small amount. Doesn't make a difference. It's no longer considered priyad moscha. Okay?
Is that true, agriculturally?
Yes. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so now the Gemara is going to talk about this. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kulhan, all these cases are exempt because Mishum Taras HaGazlan Yardulahim, because of the loss of the thievery. Okay, which means that if the deduction from Rabbi Yochanan seems to be that if my friend would have given me Rishos to bend over my tree into his property, that it wouldn't be Gzela, and therefore I would become Chayiv in that case, right? But it's not Admoscha. But once he gives me rights to use it, so it's considered like Admoscha.
Why?
Because he gave me rights to use it.
So we're saying that tree is totally his. The original
yeah.
Owners.
So let's take a look. Let's take a look. There's a Lamda Shapis over here. Footnote 19 is a Lamda Shapis over here. So the Rabbi Yochanan holds, although the Torah says your land doesn't actually have to belong to you, even if the land is owned by someone else, but he allows you to use it, it's not considered stealing, and it's considered your land with respect to Bikurim. Alright, thus, for example, if your neighbor lets you layer a branch of his tree to create a new tree in your property, the fruits of the new growth are fit for Bikurim. Although these fruits are nourished by the property of another, it doesn't make a difference. Now, the commentators ask, let's go to the next thing. This is the main thing we'll see here. The halacha states, one who buys a tree in the field of another, right? Halakach, eitz. This is the Gemara Bavasra. I go ahead and I buy a tree from you, not the land, I'm just buying a tree. What's the rule? Halacha sounds like this. So, it could be, that, yeah. So, cannot bring the fruit as Bikurim. This buyer is certainly not guilty of stealing because along with the tree, he acquires the right to let the tree stand on the seller's field and draw nourishment from it. Right? Why is the din? If I buy one tree from you, Rabbi Oberstein, I buy your Esrog tree that's growing in your backyard, even though it's not growing, but let's say it would be. Mm-hmm. You sell me that tree. I do not bring Paris or Bikurim from that tree, even though I have every right, right? You can't kick me out and say, take the tree. You sold me the rights to have the tree and the fruits of the tree that grow. So the nourishment that's coming from your property is Bershus. And we just said now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why you're Patur in the Mishnah is because it's Gzela. But if the guy would give you permission to grow it, then you'd be chayiv.
He can't say it's his land. The land isn't included in the sale.
Oh, so that's the lumdus. That's the lumdus that they want to say. There's a chilek in terms of the lumdus of whether it's considered admoscha at all. Since I totally own nothing of the land, it's different. That's what he wants to say. One solution is your land includes two requirements. A, the land on which the tree stands must belong to the owner. B, the land from which the tree derives its nourishment must also be his. So to satisfy the first requirement, you have to own the land beneath the tree. So one who buys a tree without earth beneath it cannot bring its fruit as Bikurim. But to satisfy the second requirement, ownership is not necessary. Even if you don't own the land, if he has permission to use the land for that purpose, he can bring the tree's fruit as Bikurim. This is the Ravid. Okay, this is a whole discussion, a whole line of Arichos. This is the Shaila everybody deals with. Apparently there's a grizz about this also. I don't know. Anyway, so this is something to think about. So the Gemara then says, Am Rabbi Yossi, now it's a question exactly what Rabbi Yossi has in mind here. Some of the Mepharshim, such as the Pnei Moshe, Rabbi Yossi is saying, Masnisa Omrakein. The Mishnah says this. The Tzmei Moshe says, if you look at the last, second to last line of Tzmei Moshe, he says, Masnisa Omer Kain, my Kamashmalon. What are you telling me, Rabbi Yochanan? You're not telling me any Chinesh at all. It's Beferish in the Mishnah that it says that the reason why you're Potter is because it says on Moscha. So what are you adding? But the way...
Mishnah doesn't say anything about Gazela. He's adding the thing about Gazela.
Well, according to the Tzmei Moshe, he's asking him what my Kamasha wants. But the way the English explains it, he's objecting to the explanation. He's saying that the Mishnah doesn't say anything about stealing. The Mishnah mentions, like you said, only the idea of it. Yes. Yes?
Shlomi, can you turn off the camera? I'm having trouble. I don't know if it's you or if it's me. If you turn off the picture, maybe it's
you know, I'm moving my I'm moving like no, some people have trouble when my phone is next to my computer. I moved my phone away from the computer. Is it better now? Because it may have been creating interference. I don't know. Is it better?
Okay, let's see. Now it's fine. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think the problem is my phone is creating interference. In fact, I don't even need the Wi-Fi on my phone. Let me shut that off. So it's bakhlan not even on. Oh, now it's completely off. Okay? Let's see what happens. I don't need Wi-Fi.
You don't need it far away.
No, it's good. It's picking up. It's a very good recorder. It even picks up when he announces the daf, he picks it up very clearly. It's very good. By the way, did you announce that we're on daf Aleph?
No.
Oh, we missed the announcement today. Okay.
Where it was, you didn't have to announce it.
Okay, very good. So Rabbi Yossi, so we have two ways to explain this. Either Rabbi Yossi is saying my kamashalon, or the way the English explains it, he's actually objecting to Rabbi Yochanan, and he's saying is it tamino maybe because it says it's just with Kriyar Moscha, which means it's not my land. Even if he gives me Rishus, it's still not my land. So that seems to be two ways to learn the Gemara. Yeah, so if you look, Rosh Cirilo learns the way the English is learning. You see? The last line of Rosh Cirilo, he says, Lemuti Hibruch Bershus. Okay. All right, let's go on to the Alma base. It sounds low, but it's not correct, though. Toni, it says in the Brisa, Hibruch Bershus may be Bukhari. If, it's a famous Brisa, that if you do it Bershus, that you are made in Bukhari. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan was correct, right? So he says the Rishus that we're referring to is you give him Rishus to be there forever. It's not just that you can grow this season, but you have to have rights forever. But if it was just for a temporary amount of time, it would not be good. He disagrees. So we have a machlokes. Is a temporary Rishus good? Rabbi Yochanan holds it is. Or do you need permanent? Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Yimi holds. They're both quoting Rabbi Yimi. They're arguing what Rabbi Yimi's shita was. Rabbi Yossi holds you need permanent. Rabbi Yochanan says you even can have temporary.
Is this the same Rabbi Yossi who asked the question, or?
Right, whenever I see Rabbi Yossi, from before you mean, an Amun Aleph?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the same one?
I don't know if you can tell.
I don't know. Let's suppose it was the same for a second.
So I figured out the answer.
So
I mean, well, you heard it from Ravini.
So one second. I was thinking like along the lines you were thinking as well. So in other words, like this. When we read Amun Aleph, we thought Rabbi Yossi was objecting to Rabbi Yochanan, and he was holding that even if you do a Bershus, you're also not allowed to be maybe. But then we turn the page. And the first line we read is that if you give him a shus, that he is maybe. So what's going on over here? He's flat out price, so that says not like what he just said. So the answer is his first line. Rabbi Yossi says that's only if he gives him a shus forever. So if he gives him a shus forever, then it's called on Moscha. But if he just gives him a shus temporarily, it's not on Moscha. So therefore, he objects to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that it's tolling Gzela, And even if you gave him temporary rishos, it would not be gzela. And see, he's objecting to that. I like that approach. That's basically what I think you're suggesting. That way he doesn't come out that he was soicer himself one page to the next. Right. Reb Yoina v'shem Reb Yimi afim l'sha. Chayled Reb Yoina min hadok. So we say that his proof is from this Mishnah. Ha'yachav v'bar v'siach v'ma'ara. Koytetz v'yored. So there's a Mishnah. This is where 6. It's in above a Basra. 26a. Okay? So if he was digging, I'm digging a pit, and my friend has a tree on the next door property. And when I'm digging my pit, I see my friend's tree's roots have reached in to my property. So what can I do with those roots? So it says, "Koytzeitz v'yored." I can cut the roots as far as necessary. You know, it's in the way of my pit, and it's my property. I can cut his roots. For ha'etzim shalom, not only that, I can keep that wood. I can use that as firewood if I want to, right? The etzim loy l'shahein. Now, aren't the roots temporary? And so it's, why is that? Because it must be temporary because as this Mishnah rules, the landowner may sever the tree's roots whenever they penetrate his pit. Despite the temporary nature of the permission, the owner of the tree brings bikurim from its fruit. In other words, like this. What he's saying is like this. I have my tree, right, in my property. It's producing fruit. And you are next door. And obviously, before you dug your pit, my tree's roots were going underneath the boundary between our properties and deriving nourishment from your property. But that's the way Yoshua made it. There's no, I can't object to that. Those are the conditions.
A certain amount of space next there's
you know, up to 25 amas, whatever the shear
why is. Why is he allowed to cut it?
Hold on a second. At this point, before anybody has done any digging, I'm being maybe the kairi. At this point, I'm deriving nourishment in my tree from my neighbor's property.
But
what's the answer? The answer is, it's birshus. There's no problem.
Because Yoshua.
That's what it says. So, if you dig down, right? If you dig down and you make a pit,
you make a swimming pool
and you discover the roots, you can cut them, right? You have full rights to that wood. You can keep it for yourself. That's the rule. Well, just one second. So let's just get to the argument. So isn't that, what he's timing is, so isn't that reshus that I had to have my roots of my tree go into your property only temporary? Because as soon as you dig a hole, you can cut it out and you can keep it for yourself. So you see, it was a temporary, right?
The owner of the tree can't stop the owner of the property.
Exactly. Right. I can't stop him. So you see that that reshus that I had was temporary reshus. Doesn't go on forever.
So how did the Mishnah...
That's the Raya. This is the Raya that is Lashon. Yeah.
But since Yoshua gave the permission, he said that the owner of the field can cut the roots? I mean, where's the...
Yeah,
The permission's gone. So
yes,
that's
exactly right.
It
was limited. It was.
It's
limited. It's limited. You have a right to your property. Right. Okay. So that's the raya. Okay. So that lechayra, it's going to be shver on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says he requires that it has to be.
Rabbi Yona.
What?
Rabbi
Yona is the raya to Rabbi Yona. Rabbi Yoina says that if you have rights l'shaw, that's
right.
Also good enough.
Right.
But it's shverer. Rabbi Yossi holds need rights forever. That's chayle. That's the language. Chayle, right? Chayle de Rabbi Yoina min hadol. The right to this is from this proof. Isn't that eitzim only l'shaw? So the Gemara explains ma'ovel l'Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi going to do? Sharoshim darakon l'hachalif. That when it comes to roots, what will happen with the roots? They will regrow. They will regenerate. If you, the owner, cut my roots, they'll regenerate.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna like to have rights to have it there until you cut it again. That kind of a right, therefore, is not considered temporary. That's considered permanent. He doesn't consider that temporary. Therefore, it's considered permanent. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's how he gets out of the problem. Okay? So we have a machlokas, whether the rights are temporary or even permanent, or they're required to be permanent. Amar Rabbana, most of the Rabbi Yochanan Masai L'Abba, Rabbana was the son of Rabbi Yoina, so he refers to Rabbi Yoina as his father, and he says that the Rabbi Yochanan who said the following is a riot to my father, the Rabbi Yochanan, Kolom Yishom Taras Kai Gazlan Yadulahem. That the whole Mishnah, the reason is because it's a Gazlan. We just explained this. We spoke this out just a minute ago. That Rabbi Yochanan's statement works out according to Rabbi Yoina, right? Because as soon as he gives him a right, even if it's for one season, it's not considered Zela. So therefore, you see that the right doesn't have to be a permanent one. Okay? Okay, now we have a Hakdama to this next thing we're going to talk about is that we have a Machlokes that we talked about before. The Machlokes is between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, this is a talk, you can look at it inside to see it. It is, I've got the book, I probably haven't seen.
It's been a pleasure.
It's a pleasure for you to have been here. So if you take a look at the Temesha, in the lines where it gets starts to get wide, right before it's widest. So it says over here, Huvel El Parkam de Orla, Parkam of Kaimus.
Elon Shemitzos. What's the headline?
Where the line is at widest in the same motion. Just go up one line. Elon shemitzasei natua ba'aretz umitzasei b'chutz la'aretz. If you have a tree which is partially in Eretz Yisrael and partially in chutz la'aretz, mikivan shemitzasei natua ba'aretz hiilu kulo natua ba'aretz. Divrei Rebbe. So, Rebbe says, if you have a tree which is part in Eretz Yisrael, part outside Eretz Yisrael, you go L'chumra, the whole tree is chayav in Bikur.
We're talking
in
about
Maestris, rather.
What are you talking about? The trunk? The branch?
I'm talking about the tree.
Yeah, but what part of the tree?
The whole tree. The whole
part,
tree.
Part equals whole.
Everything, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or whether the nof is outside Eretz Yisrael, makes no difference. The whole tree is yonik, partially from Eretz Yisrael, the entire tree. And since partially it's from Eretz Yisrael, you go L'chumra and you mechayev it in Maestros. That's what it says here, Rebbe. And Disrael eggs, look what he says, which is Disrael Hasharashim Yonkin Zemizeh. He holds the roots are yonik one from the other. Holchan Acharachiyav, therefore you go after the Chiyav. Roshim Yomli Lomer, Tzadhan Tumba Aretz Chayev, Tumba Aretz Chutz La'aretz is Potter. He disagrees. He says you split the tree in half at the border. The part that's in Eretz Yisrael is Chayev, the part that's in Chutz La'aretz is Potter. So we have a Machlokes, right? According to Rebbe, the whole tree is considered one unit. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you bifurcate it. Okay?
What's that word?
Bifurcate.
Split in half.
Bifurcate.
Bifurcate. Yeah. I learned that word in a case that I was involved in. I'll tell you about it later. Okay, it's a legal term. All right.
Scientific term, not a legal term.
It could be scientific. It was taught to me by a lawyer in a case that we were involved in an accident where there was two parts to the case. One was it my fault that the accident took place? And the second part of the case was, if it was my fault, what are what are they called when the guy loses? The guy lost wages, whatever that is called. So that was, they decided they're going to bifurcate the case. First, they're going to decide, is it my fault? And if it's not my fault, there's nothing, no purpose in going further. Which is, of course, what they found, because it wasn't my fault. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. It happened a long time ago, 1996. All right. So that's how I learned that fancy word. Okay, I don't know if I'm even using it right here. Okay, next. So the Gemara says like this. Reb Zrikon ba kumei Reb Zeira. So he asked the following question. Masnisa de Rebbe. Is the town of our Mishnah Rebbe? The Rebbe Omar Shoroshan Chayin Zemizat. That all the roots are sustained by one another. So the nutrients are go out throughout the whole tree. So the Mishnah thus concurs with Rebbe, who would say here, each fruit receive some nourishment from his neighbor's land, right? Isn't that exactly what we're saying?
We had this case before, where is it split according to where the root is under, or is it...
Right, so here too, that our Mishnah says clearly that the whole tree becomes putter, the old is a cana, becomes putter because it's deriving nourishment from the neighbor's root, from the yalda. So you see that a root in another property is going to affect the mother tree. That's exactly what Rabbi said, like Rabbi has done in Eretz Yisrael. According to Shem Megam Leal, he would say no. The only part of nourishment that goes to the tree in my part of the land is my nourishment from my land, and the new branch in my fellow's land, that'll be from his land. So according to Shem Megam Leal, you should be chayav to be maybe b'kayre. According, that's the Gemara to ask him.
Shem Megam Leal, does he take the fruit only from his side of the tree?
What are you saying? Rabbi Shmuel is talking about your tree. You own part of it, and there are strong parts outside of Israel.
Right.
Question is, where are you hiding mysis from? So he says, the part that's in Eretz Yisrael, you have to give mysis from. The other part, your partner.
So from that part of the tree.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a similar case in Bikurim, mm-hmm. I would imagine you would say the same thing. In our case, you should say that the tree that's planted in my tree, in my Rishos, should be chayiv in Bikurim. That's the kashya. Amalei Driakolhi. No. Here, even Rav Shmuel Gamliel would agree in Hilchos Bikurim. Hocha Atayra Amar, Rishos Shekriyan Moscha. Since there's a Gzeres HaKosov, then it has to be your land, Atchi Yehu, Kol HaGidul Med Moscha. All growth has to be from your land, since there is a part, a little bit, whatever it is. In other words, it's not significant when it comes to Meiser, but it's significant enough that the Torah is makvid when it comes to Bikurim, that it's going to pot to you. That's what he decides there's a difference between Bikurim and Meiser, based on the pasuk. Okay. All right. The Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda says, he brings Bikurim from the fruits of the either tree. That's, again, we're talking about the third case. The mother tree and the new growth are in the same person's property. They're separated by a path belonging to someone else. Tanakama says, you are potter. Rav Yehuda says, you're chayv. So the Gemara says, Adai to Rav Yehuda. According to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, what's the difference between one who plants a tree in his own field and layers a branch into the private land of another person when we say, he says, you're potter? In this case of this, where you have the Darach HaYachad in between.
Under.
What's the difference between the two cases? Why in one case does he hold your pot, and one case he holds your chayim? So the Gemara...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Gemara is going to answer, but I don't understand the kasha, because in one case it's still his property, and the other case it's not.
Yeah, but he's going through an area which is not his.
Yeah.
The Gemara is assuming now that the root would be absorbing in that crossover. You know, as if I have a root that goes underground, and that ground underneath the Rishus HaRavim is exposed to dirt, so then it's going to be absorbing some nutrients.
It's a branch, it's not a root, right?
The Gemara is assuming that it's underground.
Yeah. But
so if it's underground, then there's some nutrients that are going to seep in to that root underground, under the Rishus HaRavim. Why shouldn't that part of the tree?
Because in the Rishus HaRavim, there's only a branch. The root is in his own property.
The branch turns into a root.
Branch is acting like a root.
I guess.
The branch would act like a
root. Yeah, but that part already is back in his...
No, it's not. It's underneath the ground.
So... Here, use this table, that table, and this middle.
Yeah.
So that's where Shusiel.
So my root is going in the ground underneath the
root. Your branch.
That's the difference what you call it. It's going to be absorbing. It's going to be absorbing. It will. It will absorb. That's the Gemara's assumption. I hear what you're saying, but if you're right, if you hold it doesn't absorb anything, then you have akasha. Gemara doesn't seem to be asking a good question. But if you assume that there is some absorption, then it is a good kasha.
Do we agree that the part that's coming up from the ground is in his own property?
Hold one second, please. Entertainment space has stopped. Hold one second.
Oh, that's why probably you got a phone call.
Hello, are you everybody on? You guys can hear me? Dove? Hold on one second.
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, they do hear me. Okay. I wanted to check because I got a message over here. It sounded like there was some issues. Okay, good. Thank you. So now we're going to see the answer. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Yosha b'shehivrifa b'dalas o b'silom. Let's make a hollow pumpkin or a pipe, and that's what we're going to run the branch through that pipe. So what the Gemara is basically doing is the Gemara is making it so there is absolutely
no
absorption whatsoever going into that branch. Okay?
Yeah.
But the original assumption was it was exposed to dirt, and it was absorbing, and that's why the Gemara had the kasha. Okay?
So that's
the Gemara's answer. So the problem here is going to be very obvious. If that's the case, why would the Chacham argue? There's no absorption from any non-admoscha. Everything's from admoscha now.
Right.
What's the problem?
It doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right. Why would they say that this is very difficult. No gezeiros over here. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks the question. Now we're up on 2A. We're on 2A now. E b'shehev richa. How are we doing on time?
It's not bad. Do you know why they picked these two vegetables?
These are large.
Yeah,
they are large, and you need something large to be able to make this pipe, I guess. Okay. Ibishavi with the last of Silon, if he's making an underground tunnel, Yovibi Yikra. So the first kasha is that Rabbi Yehuda says... Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say maybe v'kare, he says maybe. He does not say kore, so according to this reason, it's all your admoscha, he should say maybe v'kare, but he doesn't say that. And even according to the Rabbana, yovi v'yikra, the chacham, what are they arguing for? On Rabbi Yonos and the Gemara, therefore, is doche this teretz. This teretz is kicked out, we do not accept this teretz. We're still searching for what the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's Chiyuv is. Now we're going to come with a whole new reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yoina Tzrich, Rabbi Yehuda. He was uncertain. This Tzrich means he had a suffix. He had the following doubt. Hamocher shvil achaveirai. If you sell a path that runs through my field to someone else, what's included in the sale? Okay? Again, so let's take an example. I have a backyard. My name is Meltzer. I've got a derech that goes from one street to another street through my property. I can make shortcuts to Rabbi Berger Shul, and everybody wants to do it. I want to make money. I sell rights to that road, to that shortcut. So what am I selling? Am I selling just the right of Drisa and nothing beneath? Or do the rights go all the way down to the Tahom, all the way down, 100 feet down? That's the Gemara. Makom Drisuhu Machar, O Ata Ata Tahom Machar. So, in Tamar, Makom Drisuhu Machar, if you say that he sold just rights for walking, then maybe the Kyrie. Then, this is the case now, okay? The Gemara is making a whole different case, a whole Okimta. I have my tree and my property here. I run the route through your property underneath, not your property, but underneath the path that you sold me. You sold me, I'm the owner of the tree. You sold me the rights to the path that I can walk through the path. I ran my tree link to my other property underneath that path. So now, Rav Yehuda's Mesupik. What's the din? Is that, did he sell him only the rights to Drisa? In which case, he retained the right underneath that path. In which case, my tree is deriving benefit from my friend's property. In which case, I should not be made a Gekire. Because it's not completely mine. Or do you say no, that you sold only, you sold him ad ha-tahom, you sold him including everything down from the path all the way down. In which case, that ground is my ground.
He can dig a trench.
I can dig a trench under there if I want, correct?
So, to be like
the... So, he was mesupik. So, since he was...
like the Rishit Rabbi.
He's mesupik. No, let's not talk about Rishit Rabbi. So far, this is really only going to work. Really only addressing, at this point, the case of the Yochid. The Gemara is going to ask Akash on the Rabbi coming next. This is really only the Yochid case that we're dealing with. So, this is the Yochid case. This was Rabbi Yehuda's Sofik. It was Boi, Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't know. And therefore, his psak was, you're maybe... Be'ein o'kare. Remember, whenever you have a sofik, you do the one mitzvah, but you don't kare because you don't want to say sheker. You don't want to say al ha'domash on asat ali because that might not be the case.
I don't know. I would think personally, you know, why would I want, even if I let somebody have a path and I sold them something,
correct.
Why would I want them to dig a trench?
Right. You wouldn't want that. Right. Correct. Maybe you wouldn't let him dig a trench, but maybe his ownership would be to the ground anyway. So the Gemara says... again, in Tamar can do some machar, maybe we got it. In Tamar at all, hey machar, lo yovi kol ikar. He said, well, Laura says just the opposite of what I just said.
No,
the Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara is saying the opposite. I just said...
If it's a suffix,
one second.
Maybe, but not Korah.
No, but the Gemara says if he only sold him Makom Drisa, he's maybe Vikare. The way I explained it, if it's Makom Drisa Machar, then he's retaining the ownership of the underneath, and therefore might... So I got the case wrong. I got the case wrong. Just one second. The owner of the field layers a tree from one side of the path to the other.
If he just sells him the... I'm sorry.
I got the wrong... I had the person who sold the path. I mean, I didn't say anything wrong. What I said was not what the Gemara says. I had that the guy who sold the path was a third party.
No,
the Gemara is not having. The Gemara is talking the opposite case, where I am the one who is selling the path to someone else, and I am running my route underneath my property. So it's only two people. Right, and what I'm saying is, but I'm the one that's selling the path, not the path.
You
is
own the land.
I own the land. So if I'm only selling him Makom Drisa, so it's going underneath my land, and therefore I'm maybe a curry. If I'm selling him Arat HaHoim, so then he becomes the owner of the land, and he owns property. Okay, very good. Then he won't be maybe. Okay, so Misafek, and maybe the end of curry. That's what it says. Rabbanam Shitolayim, the rabbis, however, held... that it was pasha to them. Remember, the rabbis argue in Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that he's potter, right? They must hold machar ad hatayim. They must hold this pasha that you sold to Tom, and therefore you don't own that property. Ma pligin, but my question is kaveiroi. You're selling a path to your friend. Avol machar lo yisod of v'shayer lo yishvil. Mar is making an exception here. If I sold him a field, and I left out of the sale, right? I'm selling you my whole property, and I'm putting an exclusion clause in the sale, and I'm saying, but I still have a right to walk through. I'm leaving over my rights to what's it called? Right of going through, what's it called?
Right of passage.
I'm leaving over the right of passage.
Legitimate sale.
In that case, I for sure left out not just the ability to walk on the surface, but there I for sure left out all the way down. Because it's my field originally. I'm selling the whole field. I'm leaving out the path. The path, therefore, is going to include everything that I owned originally, which was I owned everything from the top down to the bottom. That's just a little detail. It's really not that important for now. That's just the Gemara was just adding a little qualification. Now, this was a case where it's a private citizen. Would it be sold to the public? Says the next paragraph in the English, that should it be sold to the public, not to a private citizen, then he would concur that the subsurface is certainly included in the sale. That's called meicher ba'ayin yofa meicher. We say, when someone sells something to the public, He does it by Yofa, which means he includes everything. So that would not explain every aspect of his ruling, which is, right, because if I sold it to the public, it certainly would include the bottom. There wouldn't be a suffix. So our whole explanation is based on Rabbi Yehuda being Musufik. Is it sold? Is it not sold? But if it's to the public, it's for sure is sold. So then how do you explain that? That's the Gemara's next kasha. So the Gemara says, it's coming out like Rabbi Lazar. So this is another machlokas. Nesina Talmud is a Mishnah elsewhere, 14. It's where it is, Baba Basra 311, or 68. Nesina Talmud, it says over there, you're not allowed to make a hole underneath the public property. Baris Shechina Ma'aris, you can't dig dishes or vaults because we're afraid what's going to happen? It's going to collapse. And even if you do it in a way which you really, you know, make it strong, it doesn't make a difference. The Chacham are worried it's going to rot. Rabbi Lezer Matar, Rabbi Lezer holds, no, it's okay. They should tell go malachas to unu afonim. As long as you can have a wagon drive by on top, over it, on top of that hole that you made, and it's loaded with stones. In other words, you got a 20-ton truck going over that area, and it still doesn't collapse, then you're good. You're allowed to do that. That's Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara now compares Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Lazar. What? Kamad Rabbi Lazar Amar Tamon Takas Shusharabim Shaloi. Kach Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hocha Takas Shusharabim Shaloi. So now that's the pshat. So I'm going ahead. I'm planting in my Rishus for Yochid. I have a Rishus Rabbim Be'emsa. I'm running my runner branch underneath the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, deep, you know, 20 feet deep, and
2 feet wide,
whatever it is, whatever it is, you're running it underneath there, right? So, according to Rabbi Lazar, you're allowed to do that, right? You're allowed to do that. Because it's and we're saying there, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Lazar. So in which case, I'm doing something b'shus, right?
Is it because, now, I always thought this far of, when I was learning Mishnayos, that you can use Rishus Rabin because everybody owns Rishus Rabin.
Everyone has rights to Rishus Rabin.
So therefore, you're taking your rights, and that's how you...
That's exactly right. You are correct. Okay. You are. We're going to say that in just a second. We're going to go into the details of that. So, in our case, you layered a branch under the public path. You use the earth there as a source of nourishment for his trees. Rabbi Yehuda would view him as though he owns that earth. The requirement of your land has thus been fulfilled. The trees nourished in this manner are subject to the obligation of Bikurim. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to ask on Amid Beis, Beis Amid Beis, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Boi, in Kerav Eliezer, Yavav Yikra. If that's the case, then why, again, we have this problem. If Yehuda is saying you may be the Eino Korei, why are you not Korei? You should be able to be Korei according to Rabbi Lazar. You're doing the nourishment like you're saying, both your Rishus. So the Gemara answers, I'm going to be icy. The Gemara answers like this. Mis per savar Reb Shmuel bar Reb Yitzchak, shir Rabbi Lazar, matcha lasa is kain, dehein shaloi la'oilam. Are we going to say it's permission to use the hole as permanent, so he's viewed as though he owns it? No. Rabbi Lazar, matcha lasa is kain, v'chala kainim behen zocha. That's not what Rabbi Lazar holds. Rabbi Lazar holds that you're able to do it, but it's a first-come, first-serve type situation. In other words, I have rights to use the Shusha Rabbim just like you have rights to use the Shusha Rabbim. You happen to get there first, so you're using it right now. But I want to go and use it next. I get to use it next. That kind of ability is not called your
but I can use it next if I'm still there.
You're there now. You're right. I can't kick you out. But it's such a temporary type of use. It's one thing if I give you a right to use my land, so that's fine. That, you know, that's considered a right. But over here, that's not considered a right at all. I don't mean it's not a right. It's a right, but it's not considered an ownership. And that's why you're maybe ve'ino kare. That's what it says. That is, even after he's dug the hole, other people may use it without his permission, which means that he does not own it at all. Similarly, in Rabbi Yehuda's case, where you layered a branch under a public path that runs through the property, he does not own the earth from which the branch draws nourishment because other people have the same right to this earth as he does.
Oh,
Okay, the earth part.
Right.
Not the branch part. The earth part. I can stick my branch right over there as well. So it would be wrong for him to recite the Bikurim declaration. So that's the Maskanas HaGemara explaining Rabbi Yehuda. So we have kind of like, we have two explanations of Rabbi Yehuda. One for the Shvil HaYachid, one for the Shvil HaRabin. The Shvil HaYachid, we're saying, is talking about where you sold the Shvil and it was a suffix whether you included the Tahom or not. The Shvil HaRabim is going out like it's coming out like Rav Eliezer, who holds that if you have a right to use underneath the Rishos HaRabim if it's strong enough and it's safe, and therefore you are maybe, but you're not Kari because everybody has the same right. That's the Maskanas HaGemara from Rav Yehuda. All right, Halacha Beis, and this is just a continuation of the previous halacha. This is actually a very interesting din. You might enjoy this one, Chopsy. You're going to enjoy this very much. How tough here. I'm telling you, it's a very geschmack of Gemara. The Gemara says, Harisan machachares asik rikun v'hagazlan emavim yosetam. So if you have sharecroppers and tenant farmers and extortionists and robbers, they all do not bring Bikurim for the same reason, right? Because, shenamar, reishis bikurim ad mosna. Same reason, right?
Yeah.
You steal my property, you're not maybe. Okay. Now, ad kedan shegazal karka. This makes sense if I stole the ground. What about gazal zmoiro unatol? Let's suppose I walk into your property, I cut a branch off your tree, so it's not karka anymore.
It's the same question I asked before. It doesn't want anybody now. No, but it's in your property.
No,
what do you mean? I was kind of with Shinoi. If I steal a branch and I plant it in my property, I'm the Gazlan. And I stole your branch and I plant it in my property and now it's growing into a tree, that's I'm kind of with Shinoi Maisa. It's a completely different...
Not if the owner does not... is not the Ayish.
It's completely different. A Gazlan's kind of with Shinoi.
No,
yeah. You don't need Yish. You don't need Yish in that case. Yish, the Shinoi Rishos.
Yeah.
But if it's Shinoi Meister, you don't need the Yish, I don't think. Anyway, so the Gemara asked, this is the Gemara's Kasha. Let's suppose, right, if you stole the Zemira and it grew, what's it then? So the Gemara asked the following question. V'lo domim ku chayev lo? Is it not obvious in such a case that the robber owes the victim money? That is, the robber need pay only monetary compensation to the victim of the theft because the tree planted belongs to him. This is what I just told you. Given his ownership of the tree, he surely can bring Bikurim from its fruit. That's the Gemara's asking a kasha. Like, what was your whole kasha to think about the Zemira case? Right? And number nine, he says, if a stolen item undergoes a significant change, stolen wool is made into a garment, it becomes the property of the robber. This law is derived from the first Heshiv Sagzal Shagazal, if it's Kain Shagazal. But if it's not, right, he doesn't have to return it. So there, a stolen branch was planted, developed into a tree. It constitutes a significant change. That's what it says over here. Okay, I don't know if this is Iskahal Halacha, but that's what it says over here. I'm just using what it says.
Isn't there also a rule that karka and ending zealous?
We're not talking about karka over here. We're talking about your soul as a mora. The general case of the Mishnah you're asking, the Gemara is basically saying that. That's why the Gazlan doesn't have to, is not maybe the Tyre. He doesn't own it at all. Correct. You mask him. But here he stole the Zemora. See, that is metaltolin. He replants it, and now it grows into a tree. He's kind of with Shinoi. So why wouldn't he have to be maybe the Tyre? So the Gemara says, now the Gemara is going to explain the grounds, pardon the pun, grounds for the question. Why were they masupik? Mitzvahs ke gavaya, ain't ke gavaya. When you talk about mitzvahs, are they like things that go to as a carbon takanos brachah or not? In other words, offerings, karbonos, are restricted to things that, remember it says, it's what's the pasuk? Adam ki yakrev mikem. Right? It says, mikem b'loya gozel. Right? When you come b'loya gozel, it can't be stolen. He can still not offer it. In other words, even if he acquires it, Even with Yershin Shin Rishos, it doesn't make a difference. You can't bring it as a carbon. The rabbis were asking, does the same restriction apply to mitzvahs as well? Hain tamar kigavai hain.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. If you will say other mitzvahs are subject to the same restriction as offerings, ain't a maybe, he can't be maybe. Then tamer ain't a gavaya, maybe, then he could be maybe. So the Gemara says, Hakol moidim ba'ashera shabit la, she'ain't a maybe, man, exirin la'amarocha. That when it comes to what? When it comes to a case of an asherah, an asherah tree, which you would have you, and it was after the bittul. In other words, there's a din of bittul by Avodah Zarah. If I'm a guy comes, and not a yid, if a guy comes and he says, this asherah tree is no longer Avodah Zarah, it's batul, mavutul, no more, it's not no longer going to be worshipped. It's now mutter for all people to use it. Can you cut off the wood from this asherah tree and bring it as the gezeirin, as the wood for the marocha? You know what the wood for the marocha is? It means there's certain fires that they used to keep perpetually, and they used to bring also to gezeirin together with the carbon tamid, and they used this to keep the fire running. Now, and that was a carbon of wood. So you can't bring that wood from the sasher tree even after the bittul. Okay? Reb Shimon ben Lakish Ba'i, Mahu Shriyavim Men Alulav. So he asked the following question, well, what about bringing, let's suppose the sasherah tree was a palm, and there was a lulav growing on the top of it, can I cut the, after the bittul is done by the guy, can I go up top of the sasherah tree?
Oh, it was the guy's sasherah.
Yes, it was the guy's sasherah, only a guy can do bittul. Once it goes into a shusha yid, it's no longer subject to bittul by anybody. But as long as it's in a shusha of the guy, you can do bittul. And then he did the bittul, and then the yid climbs up to the top, cuts a nice-looking lulav off there. Rish Lakish is asking, can you use that lulav for the mitzvah of lulav? So the Gemara, mitzvah is kegavaya hein? Is it like gavaya? And just like legabe karbonis, you can't use it. So the mitzvah, you can't use it either? Or yeah, it's kegavaya.
Even after
the bittul, maybe it's like mas. Maybe it's mias to the Rebbeinu.
We don't say it doesn't have a size of a shear.
No, it's not. It's much of anah. It's much of anah.
Okay.
It's after bittul. In tamer kigavaya hein eno maybe. In tamer eno kigavaya maybe. Now, as far as bikurim is concerned, it's going to be the same thing, right? If it's he's saying, well, I don't know why he's repeating it again. Okay, so it repeats it again. So the Gemara, leaving this matter unresolved of Shimon ben Lakish.
Isn't this saying the other way around?
What?
If you say that mitzvahs are boa, then he can't use the lulav. That's correct. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
What would be the opposite of gavoa?
The law would be like a hedget. Like a hedget. The hedget is allowed to use it for firewood. No problem. Right. So now we're on Gimel Amud Aleph. We're going to finish a couple lines. Shita shuhu maybe mimena lulav she'ein mitzvos kegavah. It's pashat that he can use a lulav because mitzvos are not like a gavah. Mahu shuyavi bikurim. What about bikurim? What's the rule with bikurim? Do you say that bikurim are so similar to gavaya? Because after all, where do you bring bikurim? You bring it to Beis HaMikdash. And not only that, you give it to the Kohen. So there's so many things that are gavaya-like. Like I'll be bikurim.
Back then you brought the lulav to Beis HaMikdash on day one.
Very good.
But it remained yours.
But that was only there. But it's everywhere it's brought. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, what about Bikurim? Bikurim have a certain Kedusha, right? They are stronger, they bear a stronger resemblance to offering than do other mitzvahs, such as Lulav, too. Like other offerings, Bikurim are brought to the temple. In addition, Bikurim are subject to the ritual of Tnufa, the waving, and the ceremony is accompanied by the song of the Levium. So you have a lot of things that are similar to Avaida. Okay? So the answer to the question is a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara says, "Do Amar Hukshu, Rabbi Yehuda, do Amar Hukshu l'kachin kavul? Maybe, if you say that it's like country gevul, meaning truma, is it's right? If you, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, as far as where the which kohanim when you bring when you're maybe bikurim, who do you give it to? You give it to the kohanim. Which kohanim? So that's a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's just like truma. You can give it to any kohen you want. The Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. They said no. You have to bring it to the mikdash and give it to the mishmar that's in service that week. That week that you bring that you maybe your bikurim. So there you have a basic machlokes. The Gemara wants to say that machlokes tanoim is what will determine whether it's like a avoya. According to Yehuda holds, you give it to any kohen. It's like truma, and it's, truma is not is it's just like truma is not exempt. If you have you know asherah type fruit that's growing after bittul, it's chayv and truma. You don't say it's parted from trumas. So here too, the bikurim would also be like that, and you would have to be maybe you could be maybe bikurim. According to the Rabbanan, the hold you have to give it to that mishmar, so it's already a higher level. It's more like karbonis, and therefore it would not be available. And that's his answer. Okay, we'll stop here. Very interesting discussion. Thank you. Thank you.